We've talked about it a little bit this morning already, that the future is uncertain. But there's probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible referencing the idea of the future and planning and trying to understand how we really can't grab on to something that hasn't happened yet. We can't put faith or trust or hope in something even that's as far away as even later today, because we don't know what might transpire, what event might jump in the way, what boundary or bump in the road may show up that would keep us from getting to that point, to having that thing. And the unfortunate reality in our world today is that the vast majority of people within the United States aren't putting any type of financial assistance away for what could be. There's always this mindset that things will always be as they are, right? That if we're doing okay today, even if we're living paycheck to paycheck, right? Even if we, you know, we're like literally when it comes down to the end of the month, we're like, man, that was close. We didn't go over this month. That's always going to be the case. It's always going to be okay. We're always going to have just enough. But the reality is that one small thing, one tiny little tear in the fabric of our lives could unravel all of it just like that. Now you're like going, wow, this is an awesome, encouraging message so far. But the reality is the reality. And the thing is, we can be like the proverbial ostrich and put our head in the sand and pretend that everything's going to be okay, but life doesn't work that way. Life doesn't wait for us. Life doesn't go, well, I mean, if you're not ready, we'll take a break and let you catch up. It doesn't work that way. Life just kind of keeps coming. And one of the most pivotal passages in Scripture is found in the book of James. And James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he writes this book. He was one of the leaders of the early church. And he writes this in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. He says, listen, come now, or pay attention. Hey, listen up, okay? Those of you that say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go into this or that town, and we're going to spend a year there, and we're going to do business, and we're going to make profit. So pause for just a second. This sounds like a business plan, does it not? We're going to do this. We're going to go here. We're going to sell this. It's going to be great. We're going to make money, and then we're going to come home. This is what we're going to do. This is going to be awesome. And, you know, you have these prognosticators, these visionaries that come up with these ideas, and, man, this is going to be great, these startup companies, right? And will you buy into this startup, and it's going to be great. And then 6 months later, you've got no money, and you're bankrupt, and you're living on ramen noodles, and you're wondering what happened. Because this is the mindset, right? As long as we have a great plan, it's going to work out fine. And James goes, listen, to those of you that keep doing that, you need to take a deep breath. You need to take a step back. And look at what he says. He says, you do not know about tomorrow. You're talking about a year from now. You're talking about spending time in this town for a year. You're talking about making profit a year from now. You're talking about all this future stuff, and you cannot predict, determine, or make tomorrow do what you want it to do. But yet you're doing all these plans. Now, hang on a second. Pause for a second. Now, some of you that are my spreadsheet planner people are panicking right now because you're going, are you going to say it's not good to plan? No, it is great to plan. In fact, James says, watch this. He says, listen, what is your life like? He goes, seriously, think about your life. He says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life like? And then he gives this beautiful picture. He says, your life is like a puff of smoke. It's just like a puff of smoke. I mean, it just kind of puffs up. It's there, and you see it for a second, right? It's just kind of billowing. It hangs for just a minute, and then with the next wind, what happens? It's gone. It's gone. He says, your life is like a puff of smoke that appears for a short time, and then it vanishes. It doesn't just, you know, go away. It just, and it's gone. That's what our lives are like. In the grand scheme of eternity, in the grand scheme of the time that has already passed from this point until now, our lives are just a blip on the radar screen. And so he goes, listen, if you understand this, this is what you need to do. He says, you ought to instead say, if the Lord is willing, we will do this, and we will go here, and we will do that. Do you notice the difference in that plan versus the other plan? The key difference is a submission to God's control. You see, the reality is that life is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, here's what it shouldn't do. The fact of the uncertainty of life should not cause us to sit on our hands and go, well, there's nothing we can do about it, so I guess I'll just suffer through life. I guess whatever comes, comes. I guess I'll just sit at home and hope for the best. I guess I'll, you know, maybe I'll buy some lottery tickets. Maybe that'll work, you know, because that always works well. You know, whatever the case may be, this, we just kind of allow life to happen to us. And God goes, that's not the direction that I want for you. The direction that I want for you is to first ask, what is God's plan for my life? And then according to God's plan, make your plans. So that your plans are submissive to and in surrender to the plan of God. And really, James makes two powerful points here. He says, first of all of your planning must fall under God's purpose for your life. Whatever you plan, whatever your ideas are, whatever your goals are, whatever your hopes are, whatever your dreams are, whatever you're planning on doing in life, you've got to first ask the question, am I in submission? Am I under God's plan for my life? And you go, why is that important? Because you may not know the future, but God does. You may not know what is in store for you tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or 10 years from now, but God does. And so when you are submitting yourself, you're humbly putting yourself under God's purpose for your life and under God's plan for your life, you may be going through something. In fact, the reality is, as we know, some of you are going through some really difficult times right now. You go through some really tough times, not even talking about the financial thing, just the relational stuff. Just life and health and sickness and family and all that stuff that's going on and death, all that stuff that happens in life, and you're going through a hard time and you're going, God, I don't understand why you're allowing me to go through this. And God goes, listen, I've got a plan. There's a reason behind it all. And if you follow the plan, when you come out on this side of it, you will begin to understand and you begin to appreciate why you had to go through this. And so the thing that James says is, listen, in your planning, don't fail to plan, okay? If you don't plan, if you're like, I'm just going to go through life and whatever happens, happens, guess what? Bad stuff is going to happen more often than not. That's just reality. There's this law called Murphy, and he always shows up, right? He always shows up if you fail to plan. Now, here's the other side of it. Those of you that are planners, the reality is your plan can be fantastic, but when it's met with reality, you better be flexible to be able to change the plan, because that's just the way that life is. I think that's why God puts spontaneous people and planners together, so that like when the planner freaks out, the spontaneous person goes, it's okay, let's do this. And then when the spontaneous person is going, oh, we don't need to plan, the guy's going, listen, take a deep breath. We need to figure this out. This bad stuff's going to happen. But the second point that James makes here that I think is really kind of where we're going to run from this. And that is that banking on the future that you haven't seen is literally trusting in something that is unstable, and it's a foolish thing to do. He says to those people, hey, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to invest in this because we know for a fact it's going to give us a great reward. The reality is that the future is uncertain. The future is absolutely uncertain, and to trust in a future that is uncertain is foolish. And so James says, listen, here's what you have to do. Make plans, but they always have to be under God's plan for your life. So here's the big idea for today. As we talk about this idea of saving, and I'm like, I know some of you are like, man, you're talking kind of big picture. It's important to get the big picture to be able to understand the why. Why do we have to do this? And so here's kind of the help for us today, and kind of everything's going to hang off of this. Not planning for the uncertainty of the future is guaranteeing an uncertain future. Let me say that again. Not planning for the uncertainty of the future. In other words, not anticipating the fact that the future is going to throw stuff at you that you didn't plan for. Not going, hey, my assumption is things are not going to go the way I plan. Anybody ever made a plan and it didn't go the way that you anticipated? Anyone just curious? Everyone, okay, good. I'll just make sure I'm not alone here, because that's reality, right? You make this plan and you go, what was I thinking? And so not planning for the uncertainty within the future is guaranteeing yourself an uncertain future. You're literally setting yourself up to have a future that, man, is just going to be a mess. So from a financial perspective, which is what we're talking about, understanding the resources that God has given us financially, here's what we need to do to make sure that we are planning with a mind and an understanding for the fact that the future is going to be uncertain. It's not going to be the way that we anticipate. So here's the first thing we need to do. Let's read Proverbs 11:28, because this is a very important disclaimer. Because anytime we talk about money, and we talk about money in the way that God's laid it out, some people automatically jump to the thing, well, what you're saying then is you need to save enough money so that you don't have to worry about the future. No. Because money, no matter how much you have, will always let you down. Money will always fail you. So if your mindset in going into this, as we talk about this morning, in saving for the future, is that I'm going to get enough money so that I don't have to worry, or I don't have to think about it, I'm going to put my trust in money. Proverbs 11:28 is written for you. The one who trusts in his riches will what? Fall. The one who trusts in their riches will fall. Notice it doesn't say it might, it could be, there's a real strong possibility, there's a correlation between, no, will fall. If you put your hope in how much you have, the reality is you will be left with nothing in the end. That's the equation that God lays out. But then he says this, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. I love springtime. I love springtime. As you walk, we've got 25 acres, and so, you know, as you walk through the woods and you see the buds on the trees are starting to come out, and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And usually by the end of March, the first part of April, if you see a tree or you see a bush or something like that and it doesn't have a bud on it, you immediately think, uh-oh, that must have died, right? Because you're not seeing the growth that takes place. The writer of Proverbs says, listen, the reality is this. If you put your faith and your trust and your hope for the future in your wealth or what you have or your possessions, you will always be let down. However, if you put your faith and your trust in God and in God alone, and then in the area of finances, you handle it the way that God says, then the guarantee is that you will continue to flourish and you will continue to grow in the way that God intends for that to happen. So that's kind of the disclaimer. As we're talking about this, I'm not like, okay, listen, if you can get $1.3 million in the bank, then it's all good. You can just do whatever you want. No, that's not the way it works. So here are the four things. First of all, you need to save with a plan in mind. You need to save with a plan in mind. Now, for some of you, I'm about ready to swear because I'm going to say, you need a budget. And I know for some of you, that's like a swear word. That's like, how dare you? How dare you say that word? The word budget simply means a plan. It's just a plan. And by the way, a plan is not we'll spend until we don't have any more in the bank. That's not a plan. That's not a plan, okay? That's not the way that it works. You have to have a budget. If you are going to save with a plan in mind, you have to have a budget. You have to go, okay, here's where we are going to anticipate money going over this next month. Here's how we're going to allocate our funds to make sure that we don't overspend in an area so that we don't have enough in another area, so that we don't have a negative, and so we're not paying interest charges, and we're not paying overdraft fees, and we're not paying all these different things. We're not getting to the end of the month and going, no, we still got to have money. We obviously clearly still have money because I still have checks left. No, we don't want to do that. We want to save with a plan in mind. We have to anticipate that money will be coming and how we're going to spend it. Not having a plan and spending your money without a plan is foolish. It's absolutely foolish. When you go to the grocery store, and I end up going all the time, they have on either side of the aisle, right, in the checkout line, they have what types of things do they have there? Candy, all right, magazines, what else? Impulse. Well, you jumped in front of me there. Okay, impulse buys, right? Now, here's the thing. Here's what's interesting. Do you notice that Milk of Magnesia, Pepto-Bismol, broccoli, cauliflower, fish, things for your cat, are never in the impulse aisle buy. Why? Because you don't look at that and go, oh, I've got to have that. But a Hershey's candy bar dipped in milk chocolate, covered in caramel with some little, you know, almond crunches on top of it, you're like, well, I need that. Clearly, that they are set up intentionally for you to make a decision without thinking about it. Look what the Bible says about that. Proverbs 13, 16. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and then even brag about their foolishness. Have you ever met someone that's done this? Don't point or eyeball. Just have you ever met somebody that's done this? They like do something really, really stupid, and they didn't think about it. It was one of those here, hold my beer moments, right? And then they posted a video about it on YouTube or Facebook or a picture. They're like, look at me, I was so stupid. And you're like, yep, you are. But here's the thing. We look at people like that, we're like, man, you're an idiot. But a lot of us do it all the time with our money. A lot of us go, and we buy something. Sometimes it's small like the checkout line. Sometimes it's big like a car or a boat. And then we start taking pictures of it and posting it online. We're like, this is so exciting. Look, it's me and my new car. I'm only paying $750 a month for the next 24 years. This is great. See, that is what we do when we don't stop and think about it. Something Tracy and I instituted years and years and years and years and years ago was that any big purchase that we made, we would always wait 24 hours to make that decision. You're like, is there something magical about 24 hours? Is that in the Bible somewhere? Did I miss somewhere where it says no? But it causes you to stop and think. You see, when you're excited about a buy, you typically don't think about the negatives. You think about how much fun you're going to have and how cool you're going to look and why and this and that and all these different things. And you never stop and think about the negatives. But when you give some time, when you let it breathe, you go, yeah, that's a dumb decision. We probably shouldn't do that because you took the time to think about it. So, save with a plan in mind. Second thing, save even though you don't have to. Save even though you don't have to. Some of you may be sitting here and going, man, I have got a great job. I am a C-level person in a major corporation. I am making six figures without thinking about it. I go in and sit at my computer and I go, do this, and everyone does it. It's great. Life is wonderful. Life is fantastic. Everything's wonderful. I don't have to save. Now, I know probably none of you are thinking that. But some of you may be going, well, you know what? I think we're in a pretty good place. I don't think we have to really save. The reality is, again, the future is uncertain. Things may be great today, and they may fall apart tomorrow. You don't know. So look at this. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17 and verse 20. Those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. We'll pause for a second before we come to the second verse. The writer is Solomon, the wisest, richest man that ever lived, and he literally says this. He says, if you fall in love with having fun all the time, that's the idea. If you're all about, hey, let's just live it up. We're going to live paycheck to paycheck. Everything's fine. We make a good income. We're going to buy this, and we're going to have fun. He's not saying pleasure is wrong. He's not saying fun's wrong. He's not saying nice cars are wrong. He's saying, listen, if you are enamored by the joy of stuff, you will not have that stuff for very long. And if all you're focusing on is having a good time, and he finishes off with this, he says, if you love wine and luxury, you've got to always have the best. You've got to always have the brightest. You've got to always be the king or the queen of the party, whatever the case may be. The reality is you will never have the right mindset to be able to save because you're focused on the moment, not the lifetime. And then in verse 20, he comes back and he says this. He says, be sensible and store up precious treasures. Don't waste them like a fool. He's not saying you can't enjoy life. In fact, the exact opposite. The Bible says, Jesus Christ says, I've come that you may have life to the fullest, that you may enjoy the life that you have in this point in time, that you may serve a God, you may have that relationship with him that goes beyond any type of human relationship that you can have, and although the circumstances of life may not always be great because of that relationship and because you know what God has for you, you can always enjoy the life that he's given you. And if you understand that, you can save these things and you can set some things aside and you can enjoy life in the long term and you can be set even though the future is uncertain. So you save even though you don't have to. Third, save for what you know is coming. Save for what you know is coming. I'm just curious, how many of you, by a show of hands, are a year older today than you were last year? Good, that's good, all of you, that's good. Those of you that are like, I'm not really sure. Just talk to the person next to you, you may need some medication or something, but that's okay. You're getting older. All of us are getting older. We may not like it. We may be like, no, you understand, by the time I'm 60 years old, there's going to be this stuff, and you can replace all your parts, and it's going to be great, I'm going to live forever. Okay, but the reality is there's going to be a day coming when you are more than likely not going to be physically able to earn an income. That's just reality. And I really hate to throw this on you, but if you're putting your trust in the government to help you out there, you might need a really good prayer life. But the reality is, that stuff is coming that you already know is coming. There's a great verse, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says this. He says, you lazy people can learn from watching an anthill. And you're like, what? Learn from watching an anthill. Ants don't have leaders, but they store up food during the harvest season. So here's the thing. We know that the harvest season is only one of how many seasons? Four, right? There's four. There's spring, there's summer, there's fall, there's winter. Wow. Those are the same people that are like, I'm going to live forever. Okay. There's four seasons. But there's only one season where you can collect food. So you realize that if you are dependent upon this season, you've got to get enough food during this season to last the other three. You know that's coming. And so you prepare for what you know is coming. And that's what he's saying. He says, look at the ants. The ants know that they can't steal stuff off your table all year long. So they just do it during this particular time of the season. They store it all up. So when it gets really cold outside and they don't want to go outside of the anthill, they got everything there. And if you are wise, you will do the same thing. In other words, if you know that there's going to be a point where you're not going to have as much or you're not going to be able to provide, you need to make sure that you store up for it because you know it's coming. There may be other things that you know are coming. Like kids growing up, leaving the home, going to college, hopefully not coming back home, whatever the case may be. You know, that's you just know that's coming. You know that's happening. So you might want to save for that. There might be some other things that you know are coming where you need to save for it. So you need to save for what you know is coming. And then the last one, you need to save for what you don't know is coming. You need to save for what you don't know is coming. The future is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. We don't know what our health is going to be like tomorrow. We may think to ourselves that, listen, we're going to work till we're 90. It'll be all right. It's all good. You may not be given that opportunity. So you have to plan for the things that you don't know are coming. Now, I'm not talking about building a bunker because the zombie apocalypse may show up. I'm talking about things in life that are more than likely a reality and a potential thing that could potentially happen, and so you save for that with that in mind. You go, I don't know what's going to happen, but I anticipate that there are going to be some curves in the road that I don't know are coming. I think we can all agree that there are things that have happened in each of our lives that we in no way, shape, or form, when we were 12, 13, 14 years of age, would have said, oh, we know that this is going to happen in our lives. Because life gives us curves. Life does 90 degrees and 360s and all sorts of wonderful stuff that throws us off. And so if we don't plan with the reality that there are going to be some things that we can't anticipate, then we're going to be left unprepared. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12 says this. A shrewd or a wise person sees danger up ahead and he hides himself. What the writer is saying is, listen, as you're going through life, if you're, let's just talk about it physically. If you're walking down a road and you see that something is coming towards you, or you believe that something may be around that corner, or you hear something but you don't know exactly what it is, and so you go, listen, I'm just going to step off and I'm going to hide myself to see what's coming so that I can be protected. That's what he's saying. And so from the perspective that we're talking about, it's like, listen, as you look to the future, there's a lot of things in the future that can be unclear, that can be in the mist, that can be shrouded in uncertainty. And so as you look at that, you go, okay, I need to have a plan in mind. I need to make sure I put some things away, some things aside, just in case something happens I don't know about. And then he does this. He says, but the naive, they just keep on going. And then they suffer for it. You see, that the naive among us would be those that go, ah, it's going to be okay. We'll figure it out when it happens. We'll respond to it when the day comes. We'll just, don't worry about it. It's all good. And you just keep on trucking through life. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get a turn that you weren't expecting, and you're not prepared for it. And what I find amazing is that in these moments, the unprepared tend to blame the one who their entire life has been saying, you need to prepare for that which you don't anticipate coming. God, why did you let this? And if God were like one of us, which we're thankful that he's not, he'd probably look at us and go, I've been telling you for the last 40 years and you weren't listening. But God often in his graciousness steps in and responds and helps us work through it. But the reality is that we don't want to live life constantly hoping that the grace of God will bail us out. God has made some very clear statements in his word about how we as followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to handle the resource of money that he has given us. And one of the things that he said is that we need to make sure that we are saving with an eye for the future. That we're asking those questions. That we create a plan and we stick to it. That we understand that things are going to happen and we prepare for it. That we understand that things are going to happen that we can't be prepared for, but we can do our best to plan for. And then rest and hope that God continues to be who he's called and who he says he will be, which we know he will. So the question is, how are you doing in this area? Maybe for the first 2 weeks of this series, like, yes, I'm doing good, man. We're doing what we're supposed to do with maximizing the resources that God has given us. We're doing good with working through the process of becoming and getting to a generous giver. But maybe you've not been doing this part. So my challenge to you is that you would begin to create a plan where you're saving the way that God's called you to. Because the future's uncertain. But we have the great ability and the great strength to be able to rely on God, who knows what the future looks like. And he's called us to save with an eye for the future. Father God, we thank you so much for being a God who not only knows what happens next, but has called us to prepare for it, has called us to be ready. God, not that we trust in the power of those things, not that we trust in the strength of riches or possessions or 401ks, IRAs or the stock market, but God, that you've called us to do it. You've called us to be wise and faithful stewards with the resources that you've given us. And so, God, I pray that you would, even though it even sounds unspiritual sometimes when we talk about this, but the reality is, God, you've called us to do it. You've called us to step up and plan and make wise plans, and I pray that we would do it. I know there's some of us that just hate thinking about it. We don't like sitting down and looking at numbers. We don't like talking about it. We don't like dealing with it. We want to just put our head in the sand and go day by day, but God, that's not what you've called us to. You've called us to be wise and to be able to plan accordingly. And so, Father, we pray that we would begin to do that in our lives and in our families. We thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together?